this morning, turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we're going to start there this morning. In John chapter 20, there's an account there in one of the four gospel accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to use that as a starting point today, and I'm not going to simply talk about the resurrection, but some things related to that. And hopefully it'll be something that would be of value to all of us. For those that have tuned in via the internet, we're glad that you're with us, and we appreciate you tuning in. And I want to make kind of a public service, I don't guess, public service, whatever. Back in March, I was contacted by a family, and they were coming through here, and they wanted to meet with us, and they didn't leave their telephone number. And so I was not able to get back with them. And I looked on the caller ID and I couldn't figure out which one it was. And so I kept the message. And I was erasing messages the other day and I still had that message. And these people, people's last name is Mormon, just like the Mormon religion. If you're listening, I was not neglecting you. I promise. I couldn't call you back because I didn't have the number. And if you would email me, I'd like to be in touch with you. These people live out in Missouri, I believe it is. Said they watch our broadcast every week and wanted to come by and see the church and so forth. And so if you're listening, get in touch with me because I was not able to get in touch with you. All right, in John chapter 20, as I said, this is an account of the resurrection. And it's one of the most interesting to me in the Bible. Because of some things that we find here. Look in verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together to the other disciple, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looked in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now, I find that rather amazing. That it says there that they knew not the scripture that he may rise again from the dead. And yet that's a very important statement because the gospel that we preach today from 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, that everybody that's in the body of Christ is in the body by the gospel. Then that which was being preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John up until the death of Jesus Christ could not have included the death, burial, and resurrection. Hold on here. We're coming back to Matthew and look over, or back to John. Look in Matthew chapter 16. We went over this quickly in Sunday school. In Matthew 10, Jesus Christ told the disciples, he said, go not in the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, it becomes clear when you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that the disciples believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, was the King, but they understood not about the importance of his death, burial, and resurrection. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 16, when Christ reveals to the disciples, he says in verse 20, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So from Matthew 10 to Matthew 16, they were telling people that he was the Christ, the Messiah, but there came a point when Jesus Christ knew he was going to die, and because of that instructed them to no longer tell people that he was the Christ. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus showing his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Well then, why is it that we read in John chapter 20, verse 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead? That indicates to me that the disciples may have had some question, some doubt in their mind about the authenticity of Jesus Christ. After all, didn't Peter deny him three times? Well, notice what happens back in John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, there's much speculation because whether it was because of dark or whatever, but Jesus saith unto her in verse 15, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. Well then, did she believe in the resurrection at that point? She thought somebody had moved him. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. Now, notice verse 18, that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said unto this, his brethren, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Do you ever wonder where that saying came, seeing is believing? Well, that's where it came from right there. He said, except I see, I will not believe. Verse 26, And after 8 days, again the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Now, folks, that verse right there speaks volumes, particularly to us today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, living during a period of time when no man has seen Jesus. He said unto Thomas, Because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. And so I want to talk to you about not seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. I want you to look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now I want to talk this morning about some things that we have never seen and yet believe, and we believe by faith. As a matter of fact, right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now God always dealt with Israel on the basis of that which they could see, feel, touch, and experience. In Luke 1:45, the Bible says, "Blessed is he that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Notice there was a performance. What's he talking about? Jesus said unto him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." Well, the very attitude that we find prevalent among the nation Israel has carried over to much of religion today, in that if you don't see it, if you can't feel it, if you can't experience it, then people don't believe it. Well, folks, we believe things on the basis of what we see in the Word of God, not because we see them physically or experience them. We believe them because we walk by faith, not by sight. And we look at the things, or we are to look at the things, which are not seen. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where I read a moment ago, verse 14 says, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you." So we believe that which we've not seen. Look over in Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 11. Keep in mind, the Apostle Paul said, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Hebrews 11, verse 1, just one verse. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things," what? "Not seen." We walk by faith, not by sight. People say, "Well, why do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?" Well, I choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I choose to believe that the Word of God, that this book is the Word of God. You see, you as an individual, you can choose to believe or you can choose not to believe. And if you've got to see something to believe it, then that is not faith. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8, verse 25, or verse 24. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." You see, our salvation is on the basis of what we believe. And what we believe is that which we put faith in. And a person can either choose to believe or not to believe. But if you're going to be saved in this present dispensation, it's going to be by faith. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God." If you believe that Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again the third day, and that you put your trust in that, and that's what trust is, it's belief, it's full confidence in that, and rely upon that, then God will save you. But if you've got to see something, feel something, experience something, in order to know you're saved, then you need to question what your faith is really in. Is it in the experience, or is it in the truth of the Word of God? the gospel of Christ. Now, I want to mention to you four or five things as time allows. Things that we believe that we have not seen, that we do see by faith. Number one, nobody in this present dispensation has seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, but wait a minute. I've heard people talk about seeing the Lord. Well, notice the contrast. Look in 1 John chapter 1. We looked at this morning in Sunday school. And I mentioned then these things were going to kind of tie together. But in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested unto us. So the disciples, the 12, those that were present in Jesus' day, they saw Him, they touched Him, they handled Him, they experienced Him firsthand. And yet when He goes to the cross and dies and is placed in that tomb, they still didn't believe that He'd been resurrected from the dead. Now, I want you to look back in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. They did not believe until they saw. And when they saw Him and the prince in His hand and the spear wound in His side, then they believed that He was the Messiah. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain at this present time, at this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me also as of one born out of due time." You can read about Paul seeing the Lord in Acts chapter 9, verse 3 through 9. He saw the Lord from heaven. The Lord said, he called out and he cried out. And by the way, Paul was a murderer. Paul was having people put to death for believing that Christ was the Messiah. He stood there at the stoning of Stephen and held the coats of those that stoned him. And in Acts chapter 9, he sees a light, he's struck to the ground, he falls to the ground, and he says, "My Lord, who art thou?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And he said, in effect, "My Lord and my God." Last of all, he was seen of Paul. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. Now, this is not hard, this is not difficult. And if you've had somebody tell you in time past that they saw Jesus Christ, then you want to consider the verse versus what the person said. You see, I've heard all kind of strange things that people see. I had a lady recently write me and ask me if there were physical manifestation of ghosts. And I said, "Well, all I can tell you is I've never seen one." You see, and she said, "Well, I know a lady that sees them." Well, I've heard many people say that they've seen Jesus. One lady, I heard her on the radio give a test, live here in Chattanooga, said that Jesus appeared at the foot of her bed. Oral Roberts, several years ago, said he saw Jesus Christ, a 50-foot tall Jesus, I believe it was. And people bought into it and sent him money. Well, are you going to take what man says, or are you going to take the word of God? 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, or verse 15, says, "Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." Then you've got a verse in your Bible that says since Paul saw him last, that since that point, nobody has seen the Lord. He hath only immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You know that he's talking about Jesus Christ because he says, in his times he shall show who is the blessed, the only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, a title given to the Lord Jesus Christ. So people don't see Jesus today. How do we know Jesus Christ? Paul said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. If you're going to know Jesus Christ, you're going to know Jesus Christ as he's presented in the Word of God. Paul said that, look over in Romans, back in Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, you see, in our Sunday school hour this morning, 10 o'clock hour, we were talking about the manifestation of Jesus Christ physically, spiritually, and how today that he's manifested through preaching. Notice what Paul said in Romans 16:25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You see, the fact is, if we're going to manifest Christ today, we've got to manifest him through preaching. We make known what Christ did. We make known the fact that Jesus Christ was and is the only begotten Son of God. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. We present Jesus Christ as the one who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And Paul said he has manifested his word through preaching in this due time. Today is time for people to proclaim the message of the gospel and the man Jesus Christ, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Why? Because we don't see, we've never seen a physical appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we, by faith, believe what we have in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. And by the way, back there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go back there for a moment. The whole context there is salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, salvation and our future, if you will, after this life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How many of y'all ever seen your home in heaven? No, you haven't. Well, Paul said we know that we have one. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, that which we can see, we do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also, notice, hath given unto us the earnest, that is the guarantee of the Spirit of God. Therefore we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. You see, if Jesus Christ was manifested physically, that's what people would put their faith in. Like they do angels and different things like that. You believe in Jesus Christ by faith. You accept him by faith, or you don't accept him at all. Because there is no physical manifestation today. So nobody in this dispensation has seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that people we've not seen today in this dispensation is the fulfillment of prophecy. Now I know that there's a lot of preachers, you know, they want to tie all the world events to something that's going on right now. Well, let me show you how you can know that we're not seeing prophecy unfold. Look in, I want you to get two verses. Get Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Remember when the Iraq War started, I think it was in 1990, I forget what year it was. I can't even remember what my birthday is, much less all these years. I was asking something this morning about something happened. I said, it was about 6 or 8 years ago. The person said, no, it's just 4. In Acts chapter 3, remember when I was sitting in our den watching TV the night that the first war began, was on the Kuwait situation, when the first Bush was president. And my son Tim was working at a video store over on Mountain Creek Road, where they rent videos. And he said there was a lady that came in there, and she, one of Tim's favorite customers, said she was a black lady, and big lady, and she'd come in there and rent videos and always talk about the Lord and so forth. And that night, after the newscast came on, she come busting through the door, and she said, "It's Armageddon, it's Armageddon, it's Armageddon." Tim said, "What?" She said, "The Lord's fixing to come back. This is the fulfillment of prophecy." Not. Doesn't. Didn't have anything to do with prophecy. It had to do with oil. Had to do with finances, money, politics, and so forth. People are always looking over the Middle East trying to figure out if this is prophecy. Back in the 1940s when Israel became a nation, you know what they believed? There it is. Israel's a nation now. We ought to bless them. We ought to take care of them. Folks, I got news for you. Or the Word of God has news for you. Israel, as far as God is concerned today, is not a nation. According to Hosea chapter 2, they are, "Lo am I, not God's people." God is not dealing with nations today. He's dealing with individuals. And individuals are saved by the grace of God, and certainly there might be a benefit socially, economically, or politically in blessing Israel. But I want to tell you something, there is no spiritual benefit. The only way you can bless a Jew today, really, is give them the gospel. Preach Jesus Christ to them. You've never seen prophecy fulfilled in this dispensation. In Acts chapter 3, notice what Peter says there. In Acts chapter 3, he says in verse 20, "He shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Then that which was taking place was that which was spoken by the prophets since the world began. That's not hard. That's prophecy being fulfilled. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. But that verse we read over in Romans chapter 16 a moment ago says, "Now to him that's power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation secret of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." Well then, was there any prophecy about the dispensation of the grace of God in which we're now alive? No, there was no Old Testament prophecy about that. It was kept secret since the world began. You see, we're not living in the days of prophetic fulfillment. Now, when the church is caught away and gone from here, prophecy will be fulfilled. But it's not being fulfilled today because we're living during a period of time Paul calls the mystery. Look over in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. The secret that God kept has to do with the salvation that would be made to all men so that we could all be saved apart from the nation of Israel, not through the nation of Israel. Ephesians 3 verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed in the holy apostles and prophets, by the Spirit." Notice that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 3 says, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." We preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, not according to prophecy. The third thing that nobody's ever seen and told about is heaven. Now, I know I'm going to be walking on thin ice here, because there's a new movie out about somebody that went to heaven came back, told all about it and everything. Well, let's look over 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I've just got to share this with a group. I did share it at Sunday school. It was so funny. And the reason it comes to mind is the number of movies that are out right now. Noah, Son of God, God is Not Dead. A lot of movies. Of course, last night, but it is all on. I mean, you know, the Ten Commandments. And the TV just always plays those things on Saturday night. Well, Friday night, I got a call, or was it last night? Anyway, Friday or Saturday night, I got a call. Didn't recognize the number, but I went ahead and answered it. And it was a Georgia area, 770 area code. The fellow said, "Hey, are you a preacher?" I said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "I got some questions I want to ask you." I said, "Okay." He said, "Is there anywhere in the Bible that all 12 disciples are named?" I said, "Yes, sir, Matthew 10, 1 through 3. He said, "Man, that's quick." He said, "Well, let me ask you this. Was Mary Magdalene a disciple?" I said, "No, sir, they were all men." And so he asked me two or three other things. Mary's sitting there and she's like, "What's going on? You know, what are you answering?" So anyway, I asked the fellow, I said, how did you get my number? You watch our TV program?" "No," I said. I told him it was on Comcast. He said, "No, I don't have Comcast." I said, "You ever heard us on radio?" "No." I said, "Well, how did you come to call me?" He said, "Well, we went to the movie today, see the Son of God, and said, my wife and I was arguing about some things, and said it pictured like Mary Magdalene being with the disciples, like she is a disciple, and said I told her she wasn't no disciple, and said I got my cell phone, and I looked up, and on my cell phone I've got a contact out there, and it says Bible questions, and your number's under there." He said, "I don't remember how it got on there." I said, "So you've never seen us on the internet?" Said, "Don't have internet." "You've never heard a radio broadcast, and you've never heard our TV broadcast?" He said, "Nope." I said, "Well, call again sometime." He hung up. I have no idea how the guy ever found out about me, but anyway, maybe somebody told him and maybe somebody. Of course, now I could get real mystical and say, the Lord put that number on his phone. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter." Now, come on, folks. We got the apostle to the Gentiles. He goes up into the third heaven and God will not let him tell about what he saw there. But he will take a 5-year-old boy and transport him up there and let him tell what he saw. How much sense does that make? People don't stop and think. Nobody's seen heaven. They might have heard about heaven. I mean, Jesse Duplantis, he said he saw heaven. He said he saw his mansion. It had crown molding about that big. Said he saw Paul up there, and Paul was walking around still claiming it was his gospel. And there's 1,000 people out there applauding everything he said. Are we going to believe the book? Are we going to believe what man says? Jesus said, "Thomas, you believe because you saw. Blessed are those that believe because and that have not seen." We're blessed today because we have the Word of God completed. And we have the truth of God's Word. And we have everything about God that God wants us to know. It doesn't take extra biblical revelation. It doesn't take a midnight trip to heaven. It doesn't take some kind of revelation of Jesus Christ. None of those things are necessary. We have the Word of God. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, we believe that one day that Jesus Christ is going to catch the church up. But you know what? I've never seen anybody raptured. But I believe in the rapture. Say, well, the word's not the Bible. Well, then I believe in the catching away. And last thing I want to mention to you is that you have never seen anybody get saved. So, I remember the day I saw him walk down the aisle, kneel down at the altar. You know what you saw? You saw him kneel down at the altar. You know why you never saw anybody get saved? Because it takes place inside of an individual. Now, you might see the outward experience that they went through. Maybe the Lord gave an invitation, or the preacher gave an invitation, and they walked down the aisle, and they stood up and said they got saved. But you never saw anybody get saved. You know what that tells me? Don't judge whether or not people are saved. God knows the heart. We look on the outward appearance. You might know people that outwardly are the most moral, self-righteous, church-attending individual you've ever seen, but you don't know whether they're saved or not. You don't know if they're doing that just through the power of the flesh or through the power of the Lord living in them. You don't know that. Now, many times you can get a pretty good indication because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But even that, people can say the right words. I mean, come on, when I was a young man, 18 years old, started preaching, I lived a real clean life. I didn't smoke, I didn't chew, and I didn't go with girls that do. I didn't drink, didn't do drugs, didn't go to bad movies. Went to church every time the doors was open, was the youth president, youth leader, all people. I had a woman tell me, she said, when my little boy grew up, I wanted to be just like you. And I'm thinking, no, you don't. But I was a good Christian. Only problem was I wasn't a Christian. I was doing what I had been told to do. And every Sunday when they'd give the invitation, the preacher said, if you got unconfessed sin in your life, come forward. Confess your sins. Well, I couldn't figure out why everybody wasn't down there, because I went every week. I mean, I had unconfessed sin every week. And it remained unconfessed, because if I told my mom and daddy what it was, he'd have beat me to death. But I'd go down there and I'd confess it to the Lord. But there came a night when I was 25 years old, after preaching for 7 years, there came a night when a man stood in this pulpit and proclaimed, you're complete in Christ. And for the last 2 years since I've been hearing the truth of the gospel, I had all this turmoil in my heart, in my mind, in my life, because I didn't know. And I'd think back to when I was 12 years old and I walked down that aisle and got baptized, and people would have said, I saw the day you got saved. I remember the night you got saved. No, what they remembered was the night I walked the aisle. They remember the night I got baptized. But you know what? The night I got saved, nobody saw it. Because I was sitting right over there about where Hayden and John Rogers sitting, and that preacher's up here preaching, you're complete in Christ. And he got down to Colossians 2:13. He has forgiven you all trespasses. And it was like a bolt of lightning. You fool. You've been trying to figure out all this time whether you said the right things, did the right things, and there's nothing you can do because I did it all. And that night I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I didn't tell a single soul about it. But I want to tell you, I'm as saved today as I was saved that moment. I told people later about it, but nobody saw it. I didn't jump up and shout. I didn't holler and scream. I didn't run down to the altar. I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And up until that point, there wasn't a day of my life, hardly, that I didn't have doubts about my salvation. But after that point, I came to the realization, if I doubt my salvation, it's doubting what Christ did. Because He said He paid for all of my sins at Calvary. And that night I trusted in that. And I continued to trust in that. Never saw the Lord. Never saw heaven. But I see through the Word of God things that the world doesn't see. You and I are to have spiritual eyes. And so today, if you've never been saved, maybe you had an outward demonstration of something, but you never trusted Christ as your Savior. By faith, you can receive Him as your Savior. People often, when they come here new, they wonder, why don't you give an invitation? Well, I do, and I just did. I invite you this morning to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Receive the truth of salvation by grace through faith. Receive the truth that Jesus Christ died on that cross and God placed all of your sins upon Him and He died for those sins. Not so you could strut about in your self-righteousness, but so you could, as a filthy, no-good sinner, receive that free gift of salvation. The Bible said that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. We didn't see that take place. None of us were there. But by faith, we look at the things which are not seen. And we trust in what God says about Himself and His Word. If you've never done that, today would be a glorious day to do that. And today would be a day that you would take full benefit, receive the benefit of that which was accomplished when Christ hung on that cross, died, was buried, and was raised again, proving that He was the Son of God. And the Bible said He was raised again for our justification. If you've never trusted Him, I pray that you would do that right now, whether you're here in this auditorium, listening over the internet, or by some other means. Don't let another day go by if you're not sure that you're saved, sealed under the redemption. He paid the price. He did all that needs to be done. By faith, you can receive it right now if you will. Would you stand me for prayer?